Okay, that is my bad. Okay, so as I was, Ethan is learning this one. Okay, as I was thinking through some of the passages and thinking about what could I speak, especially during this heart-to-heart series, right? Thinking, and I was speaking to God, and I was saying, God, what do you want me to speak? What do you want me to share with the folks out here? And so that's when the conversation kind of triggered, my attention to the topic that I wanted to cover this morning. And just before we start, related to the topic, there's one joke that I'd like to share. A little boy was saying his bedtime prayers with his mother, right? And he was sitting in the corner, and he was saying, Lord, bless mommy, bless daddy, bless everybody around us. And then suddenly he raises his voice and says, God, give me a new bicycle. His mother just turned around and said, hey, son, just to let you know, God's not deaf. He can hear you. They said, Mom, I know that God is not deaf, but grandma in the next room, she's hard of hearing, said the child. Right? So this morning we are here, and praise God that our God is not deaf, he is not old, he is not the one who's weak, but he's all powerful. So we are in the presence of Almighty God this morning. So let's praise God for that. The topic of today is going to be a conversation with God, from whispers to wonders. And now, this topic came about when I was hearing Joe's message last week as well, when he's talking about creation and about how man was created with a specific intention, right? For God to have fellowship with him, to have communion with him. We see in Genesis, it says that God walked in the cool of the evening to what? To be with man, right? That's when it all started, because he created man. And so the conversation began right back in the Garden of Eden. That's where it all started off. Let's turn our attention to one portion from Exodus chapter 33. There are some men of God who intentionally had their names mentioned for their closeness with God, right? Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11. When you turn to Exodus 33 and verse 11, it says in this verse, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. Isn't it amazing? When you look back into Moses' life, and we are going to speak about one or two things which is relevant to Moses in this, when we're going through these passages. But Moses was a man whom God spoke to face to face. And we know a lot of experiences that Moses had when he was having a conversation with God. He did a sin, and we know he couldn't cross over to the promised land. But Moses was the one who was the most meekest man on earth, it says in Numbers. And it also says that he had a conversation with God face to face. When I was growing up, there were so many times, right, when I was young, I was always thinking, how do we connect with God, right? When you look at everything around you, the stars, when you're going around in the night, you see stars and you see the big sun out there. The question used to be, how far is God from us? And how can he speak to us? And how can God speak to us? Isn't he like far away from us when you look at the creation itself, which he's created? The one particular video caught my attention last week when I was scrolling through. I saw one video wherein the person is talking about the distance between Earth and the planets, seven, eight planets, right? This distance between the planets and the Earth. And if you take a passenger jet, an airplane, if you sit in an airplane and if you travel to these planets, how far is it going to be, right? That's what this video was all about. It's just showing the distance. Then, I don't know if you caught, your attention went to one particular rare event which happened in February. It was called the Planet Parade. Called the Planet Parade, wherein once every 20 to 30 years, seven planets, line up in such a way. It's not in a straight line, but visible in an arc. And you can be on this earth and you can see seven planets lined up, right, in different places. Of course, some of them with telescopes and things like that, but that's an opportunity to see these planets. So then I picked up the topic that the video was talking about. I don't know how clear this is, but you can see that these are the planets, right, that we have. And of course, Pluto is excluded from the list, as you know, as a planet. But seven planets that's visible from the Earth. And they're talking about the amount of time it would take for a passenger jet to reach each one of these. The first one was Mercury. Mercury takes 5.3 years to reach Mercury from the Earth if you travel in a jet. Then they talked about Mars. It takes 9.9 years for you to reach Mars. It seems like it's right there, right? When you look at Mars, it takes 9.9 years to reach Mars. Mercury, it takes 11, did I say Mercury? Okay, I'm sorry, Venus was 5.3. Mercury is 11.6 years it takes to reach Mercury. Jupiter, it takes 79.7 years to reach Jupiter. It takes 161.7 years to reach Saturn. We're just getting started, right? And it takes 345 years to reach Uranus. And it takes about 552 years to reach Neptune. And this is all within our solar system, the ones that we see. And of course, we cannot let go of the closest star to the Earth, which is the Sun. It takes 19 years to reach the Sun, if at all you can get even closer to it. It takes 19 years for you to reach the Sun. So this kind of fascinated me, right? These are stars and planets that you see across on the skyline. And you wonder the distance, and you see there, meaning at least approximation that they've done, it talks about the distance that each one of these planets are from us. How far is God from us? The one who's created everything, the one who's placed these planets in place, the one who's created the solar system, the constellations, so many things which you have not even seen, which God has created. How big or how close will this God be to us? That's why this morning when we come before the presence of God, we see the earth. How close is God to us? This close. Isn't it amazing? Right? You see the cross out there? That's the message God gives to each one of us. He says he's created everything, but his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to this earth to die for each one of us. This morning we were having the privilege to worship him, this great and mighty God. And we know that this is how close he came to us. He came down here for us to save us from our sins. So this morning time, if there's anybody who does not know about the salvation, this is the best time for you to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the best time for you to turn back from your sins and believe this Lord, because you know, we were meditating this morning, this is not a simple feat. God Almighty sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us. So that's the message of salvation, right? That's the message of salvation that we know of and we have believed in, and we know one day we will be seeing our Savior as well. Now as a believer, now if you've not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, a great time to believe. Now as a believer, what are those spiritual traits or blessings that the Lord has given us? Just going back to the book of Ephesians, there's a lot of points out there in Ephesians which talks about the spiritual gifts that the Lord gives a believer. The believer, of course, by faith, he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the saving knowledge of Christ. Now he's starting off his journey. And as he's traveling, as he's going around, going about in his journey, we see a lot of blessings that the Lord has given a believer. Just glancing through some of them, there, of course, this is not capturing all of it, but some of it. You see, first of all, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings because we are in Christ. All spiritual blessings because we are in Christ. Then Ephesians 1 verse 5, it says we are predestined. It says we are predestined. He has predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He's predestined us. What more? He's given us another blessing. We are forgiven. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says we are forgiven, and we know that's why we are in his presence this morning, because he's forgiven us of our sins. We are redeemed. We are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we also know we've been made rich in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's right there on that verse there. We see grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He's made us rich in Christ. We also know that the believer gets the blessing of being secure to eternal glory by the work of the Spirit. Ephesians 1 verse 13 and 14 says that. It also says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. More blessings. We who are dead are now alive. We are alive in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5 says we are alive now. He also says we are objects of eternal grace. Romans chapter 9 verse 22 and 23 says that. It says, what if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, that's us, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory. He's made us objects or vessels of eternal grace. He's also, we know that we are all the masterpiece of God. God's masterpiece, perfect. Right? He created us in his own image and in his own likeness. God's masterpiece, and he's created us unto good works. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says. And we also know we are one with the other believers. He's put us together. He's united us as one, because that's the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 12 and 13 we see that. We also know we are now part of God's family. Ephesians 2 verse 19 says we are all part of God's family as well. And one more that I picked up was the blessing that the believer has. We are the habitation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. As we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16, he says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells within you? In Ephesians 2:22 also, he says, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We are built as a habitation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. And we see those are great blessings that is given to each and every believer. Now, while all these blessings belong to the believers, the Christians, you see, we are fully equipped for sanctification and effective ministry as well, and to give God the glory. We are here to give God the glory as well. And in Colossians chapter 2 verse 10, I think it summarizes a lot of these things together. In Colossians chapter 2 verse 10, it says, and you are complete in him. We are complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. He sums it all up in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. You are complete in him. But with all of these blessings that he's blessed us with, we know that one of the important things that we are called for, what are we called for? We call for obedience. We are all called for obedience. In John chapter 15 verse 10, he says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. You have to keep the commandments that the Lord has entrusted us with. We have to keep the commandments. And taking you back to the episode of Samuel and Saul that we were meditating during the Wednesday Bible studies, right? 1 Samuel chapter 15, it talks about Saul's experience when he did not destroy the Amalekites completely, and Samuel confronts him and asks Saul why didn't he do that. He gave a list of experience, and I'm always fascinated listening to Saul, right? The way he defends himself, the way he comes back and said, I did this all to offer sacrifices. Then he says, it's not me, my people did it. And then he says that, you please ignore this for now and come with me and let's worship and show the people how good I am. He does everything he could to prove that he was good and he fulfilled what he was supposed to. to be done by the king, right? By Saul. But Saul, but Samuel's message was very clear. There was no obedience in what Saul did. 1 Samuel 15 verse 22, Samuel says, As the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. He says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Saul got it upside down, right? He got it wrong, because he thought sacrifices were important. But he said sacrifices, yes, but it should proceed with obedience. So this morning, we also know as Christians, and while we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings, we are called to obedience as well. Following what the Lord wants us to follow and do what He wants us to do. But with all these blessings and things that we do, we know there is always a possibility of spiritual overconfidence. Right? I've heard some instances before, earlier, wherein people said, hey, you know what, I've been in this faith for 40 years, I've been in this faith for 50 years, I've been doing this every week, I know the Bible upside down or inside out, right? Everything as such. There are people who exude that kind of confidence that they know everything. But we know the Word of God very clearly mentions to each one of us as a warning that we have to be very careful of spiritual overconfidence or feeling or thinking that we know it all. Because when we look into, when you think about Ephesians chapter 6 verse 14, Ephesians, the armor of God is mentioned. But what does Paul mention in Ephesians chapter 6? He says, stand therefore. So each one of us as believers, we have been made to stand in Christ. We are standing, right? And we are putting on the armor of God. It says, stand therefore, and he continues with the shield, the sword, and everything else after that. He says, we are all standing. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12, it is very clearly emphasized on what we should be very careful of as believers. What we should be careful of. He says in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Isn't that a big, big risk that a believer faces? Because very, very often what happens is failure comes knocking on the door very subtly, right? And if you're not conscious about it, if you're not wary about it, then there is a real possibility that we would fail. And that's when we would fall. Right? In 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12, it says so, that we have to be careful. The one who thinks he stands, make sure that he does not fall. So what is the solution, one of the solutions to what we need to do? And that brings us back to this topic of conversation with God. What do we need to do? We need to pray. We need to have a conversation with God. This was one of the, wall hangings that I used to see when I was growing up. Almost every family, right? Every Christian family had this in their home. My uncle also had this. Of course, it says, Christ is the head of this house and is prominently displayed right at the front. There's the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. Many of them have forgotten that board is out there, right? That signage is out there at homes, because it becomes a routine. But this caught my attention. It says Christ is the head of this house, which is the primary thing. And it also says the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. And I was introspecting about this, I was thinking, very often we tend to forget that somebody is listening to us, right? All the time, somebody is listening to us. So our Creator is listening to us. Very often we tend to forget, we say things which we are not supposed to say, we do things which we are not supposed to do, but we often forget that somebody is watching us, somebody is listening to each and everything that we say. It's the silent listener to every conversation. So it's important for us to know that there is a God who's listening to each one of the things we are saying. So that conversation, he talks about a silent listener to every conversation. When it comes to conversations, one thing which came to my attention, I was looking online and I was saying, some of the things related to conversation, right? We all have these conversations, we talk to each other, and now because it's the digital age, It makes it much more easier. Earlier, we had to write letters and, you know, go physically to places. But now it's the click of a button. You can send messages, you can converse with people. One of the interesting points that I found, we speak about, it says 7,000 words a day on average. 7,000, this is an average, of course, it varies. 7,000 words a day, that's over 2.5 million words a year by an individual. Then I was also saying, and yet many people go years without saying a sincere word to God. Right? Many years they could go without speaking to God, but the conversations we have on a day-to-day basis is this. There's more than 2 billion, I think, messages and things like that that happens between people every month. Some stats like that is there. Talks about the amount of conversations that happen, but there's not enough time for God, a conversation with God. The average person checks their phone, it says 96 times a day. I was just trying to see how many times I check my phone as well, but it says it's averaged about 96 times a day. That's once every 10 to 12 minutes. And the quote that I read there was, imagine if we checked in with God as often as we checked our notifications. It's something for us to think about. The longest conversation, this is also interesting. There is a Guinness Book of World Records, that's a record of somebody who had a conversation apparently for lasted more than 54 hours non-stop. Two friends talked non-stop for over 2 days, it says. And yet many believers struggled to pray for even 10 minutes. It also was an interesting one when I read, why? Because we treat God like a meeting, not a friend. It very often it's very structured in terms of our conversation with God, right? You have a prayer meeting, you have a you have the Friday meeting, you have all of those things. So it's very structured. We go to God at a specific time and date as if he's given us an appointment, right? But we often forget that he's not there to attend so-called prayer meetings or business meetings, right? He's our friend. He's the one who spoke to Moses day in and day out as a friend, face to face. He's the one who spoke to Samuel. We see in the book, when you're talking about Samuel, he spoke to Samuel in his ear, it says. God had these fascinating conversations with his people. He did that day in and day out, and he was with them. He walked with them. He talked with them, right? There is this song that we sing, I Come to the Garden Alone. It says, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Isn't it amazing when we have that kind of relationship with God, when we can go before him in conversation with him? Not, he's not looking for flowery words and, you know, the way we speak. There's a lot of things that I fail, right, when I speak. There are words which, you know, my Indian accent kicks in very often, and I'm trying to see how I can neutralize that accent. So many other things come up, and each one of us have different things that we can say. But God is not looking at anything like that. Isn't it wonderful that he kind of neutralizes our accents and everything else that we do, because he's talking to us as a friend. He's talking to us as the one who's close to us. And he loves that. You see, God loves to do that. So how do we do that? We do that with prayer, right? Prayer is the key absolute for everything. I was hearing about this. Prayer is like the air that we breathe. You know, we are all breathing in and out, right? If not, we'll not be alive. And it says that there is pressure in the air through which the air goes in, the air comes out, right? It is constant. From the time we are born to the time we die, air or breath keeps coming in and out. Nobody is kind of counting and saying, oh, I have to breathe now. Right? We never say that, oh, I forgot to breathe. Or when the child is born, there is no switch, automatic switch which is there, which says, oh, the child is born, now we have to flip this on so that the child can breathe. It doesn't happen. Breath is natural, right? And when it is difficult to hold your breath rather than to breathe. Right? Each one of us, we know it's very difficult for us to hold it. Prayer should be like that. It should be natural. It should be like the air we breathe, right? It comes in, naturally goes out. It should be as natural as breathing. Because the Lord has created us for communion, right? He has created us to have a conversation with us. And so it's important for us to have prayer which builds our relationship with God. I was hearing this online. It's not linked to the, you know, we don't see a reference to this in the Bible and things like that. But there is this preacher who was talking about the word Yahweh. Right? He was telling about how this is associated with the covenant, the name of God. You know, Yahweh, right? It says Yah is more like the air you breathe in, and Weh is more like the way you breathe out, right? Yeah. It goes like this, he says, right? So he said that it's pretty interesting, because when I heard about it, I was thinking God's name is kind of naturally built in to breath, right? You breathe in, it's like Yahweh, right? It goes that way. And it says that a naturally voiced inhalation sounds like Yah, and the voiced exhalation sounds like Weh. And it says a baby's first cry is a calling out to God, right? And a man who is dying, the last breath he takes is a call out to God. First and the last is calling out God's name. While, like I said, this is not in the Bible, but I found that very interesting, because it says that God has built us for communion with Him. And the psalmist also says that, he says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. As long as we are breathing, we continue to praise His holy name, because that's what we have to do. What do we do? What do we pray for? I don't want to go into details of this, but we all know we pray for everything, right? In Acts chapter 6 verse 4, there the apostles are saying, give ourselves continually to prayer. Acts chapter 10 verse 2, we see about Cornelius. Cornelius was a man who was praying to God always, it says. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Romans 12 verse 12 says, continue steadfastly in prayer. Ephesians 6 verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Philippians 4 verse 6, a very familiar portion to all of us. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Constantly there is a mention of when we should pray. It says always, pray always. That connects back to the conversations we were talking about, right? Conversation with God should be always, done always. The statement here is, if we are created to speak, to listen and to connect, what happens when we include God in the design? We stop just talking to Him and start having a conversation with God. So for us to have this conversation, I just picked up three points, which is kind of a housekeeping topic, right? Like basic that we need to have in place while we are having a conversation with God. The first one is, we start with the heart. Start with the heart. Look inward before looking upward. We have to start looking inward before we look upward. This is one of the key points that we see about starting a conversation with God. We know about David. David is one of the references that I had. David, we know he sinned, right? With Bathsheba and all of that, he sinned. And the prophet comes to him and tells him the point about his sin. And we see David confessed. He said, I have sinned against the Lord. And he says that. And Psalm 51, we can turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51 has a psalm where David has written, which talks about his coming clean before the Lord, right? And he's introspecting himself, within himself, to see what has he failed in. And then he comes before the Lord and asks for repentance. Psalm 51 is the entire prayer of repentance. In verse 10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And he says, deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, that God of my salvation and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. And he also says, do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. There's a lot of references here that David is pouring out his heart before God and telling, God, I've sinned against you. And he realized the importance of confessing before the Lord on his sins. And we know the Lord graciously forgave him. But of course, he had the punishment that was meted upon him. But we see that the Lord still kept his covenant promise to David. So that's very important for us to have an introspection. In 1 Corinthians, we see about that, right? When we come before the bread and the wine, and it says that we have to introspect ourselves, right? Examine ourselves before we participate from the Lord's table. It's very important for us to do that, because there's a lot of things that have happened. If you're not able to confess and if you're not able to let that go, then it's not right for us to come before the presence of God and to give him praise. Because he said, first settle things with your brother. Remember, and Jesus said about that. He mentioned that if you have something against your brother, leave your offering, it says, at the altar. And then go to your brother, reconcile and come back, because the Lord does not accept half-hearted praises to him, because he wants us to look inward, purify ourselves and come before him. James chapter 4 verse 8, it says, draw near to God, he will draw near to you. He says, cleanse your hands, and then he says, and purify your hearts. That's how we come before the presence of God. That's where we start. We start off with the heart. The second one, learn to look around while looking upward. The reference to this for me was going back to the book of Jonah. Jonah was out in the wilderness, as we know. He was trying to run away from God. God brought him back. And he was there at, he was sitting under a creeper, right? He was sitting there. And in Jonah chapter 4 verse 4, the Lord said to him, is it right for you to be angry? The Lord is asking Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? What is Jonah thinking about? He's just thinking about his survival. He's saying, I'm sitting in the heat. Lord, let me die. I don't want to live like this anymore. But the Lord tells Jonah, look around you. Where are you now? Jonah has so many things to thank God about, right? He has many blessings. He would have been perished long time ago, but the Lord still chose to turn his direction, bring him back to Nineveh, because that was the ordained plan of God. God made sure that Jonah was forgiven for what he did, and he was brought back. He was restituted, and we know he came to Nineveh and did what the Lord wanted him to do. Do not forget what the Lord has done for us. And it's important for us to look. Very often what happens is we come before the presence of God because we have limitations, we have lack, we have wants. But how important it is for us to come to him and count our blessings. You sing the song, isn't it? Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. It's important for us to always remember about the blessings that the Lord has given to us. Luke 17, we know about the 10 lepers, right? They got the healing that they wanted. Nobody was willing to heal them, but Jesus healed them. What did the 9 of them do? They went away because they were going to show the priest. But there's only one who came back. And that Samaritan who came back praised God and he fell at Jesus' feet. This morning, it's important for us, while we're having the conversation with God, to learn to look around us. Count the many blessings he's blessed us with. Even the very breath that we have is a blessing from God, isn't it? There's so many people around us who's perished this morning, who's not here today, but he's extended our life one more day on this earth, and we know it's all a blessing. Psalm 103, read, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Oh, we have to come to God with a grateful heart. There is no two ways about it. The last one, move to action. I found this also important because going back to the life of Moses, right? The children of Israel were at a pivotal point. They were standing near the Red Sea and they were wondering what to do. Pharaoh and his army was behind them, the mountains on their sides, the sea in front of them. There was no way they could see a path in front of them. We see that in Moses. I'm not going back to the portion, but Exodus chapter 14, it says, Moses tells the people something. He says, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Moses says, you will see God's wonders and powers before you. But what does God say? God, then the Lord said to Moses in verse 15, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, to move forward. That's what they had to do. They had to stand and wait to see God's miracles and wonders. But for that to happen, they had to step forward. They had to step forward. They had to take action around it. Same thing with Joshua as well. We see Joshua, when Moses died, the children of Israel were weeping over that and, you know, sorrowful over that. And then Jesus, and then God comes to Joshua and says in Joshua chapter 1 verse 2, what does he say? He says, Moses, my servant is dead. And he doesn't put a full, he doesn't stop there, right? He continues. He says, now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan. They had to do that. They had to take action, because that's what the Lord wanted them to do. Philippians chapter 3 verse 13 and 14 also talks about the same thing. It says, and I'm paraphrasing here, it says, reaching forward to those things which are ahead of each one of us. We have to press towards the goal that is in front of us. We have to constantly do that. Right? What does it mean by moving to action? What does it mean? It means things like practicing forgiveness. It means things as serving others. It means studying the word of God. It means fellowship with the believers. It also means living with thankfulness. It means striving for holiness. It also means bearing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. That's what we have to do. That's the call of action that the Lord has asked us to go ahead with. I read a poem, and we'll wrap it up with this poem, A Conversation with God, and I found this very interesting. This poem says, one day I wondered, why am I here? What is my purpose? What is my plan? I got down on my knees and asked God the same, first going to him in Jesus' name. I said, Father God, I just don't know. I just don't understand why in this life I was dealt this hand. Why is this life, why is my life such a struggle? Why so much pain, oh Father God? I just don't understand. As I began to rise from my knees, I heard a whisper and I felt a light breeze. A voice began to speak, such a commanding tone. I fell back down with a shiver to my bones. The voice proceeded to speak, and this is what it said. Hello, my child, your prayer I heard. So I thought I would tell you in my own words. I have a plan for your life that you just cannot see. But continue to do what you do. Continue to have faith in me. I will not steer you wrong, for your path is so bright. You seem happy during the day, but weary at night. Fret not, my child, for I am your Father above. I will only show you unconditional love. You will go through some struggles. You will have some pains, but the rewards you will reap will be well worth the gain. You have no idea of my plan for you. But you have a purpose in everything you do. I will not reveal my plan for your life, but you will see when the time is right. So don't give up and don't despair, for I am God and are with you everywhere. I thank you for your prayer. I enjoyed this conversation, and I hope you did too. Hold tight, my child. Your blessing is about to come through. Let's pray. Father Lord, we are blessed because we have you as a God, a Savior, a friend. And Lord, we can have a conversation with you anytime in our life. Lord, you paved the way for that to happen because of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came down to this world, took away our sins. And Lord, this morning we are clean. We come before you as your children, and we know we can have a conversation with you anytime in our life. Father, help us to introspect ourselves and see, Lord, where we stand. And Father, that we might be coming to you with clean hearts, that we might let go of all the things that is holding us back. And Lord, constantly look to aim towards perfection that's within Christ Jesus. Help us, Lord, that we might continue to give you the glory and praises, because, Lord, we know that you have placed us here for a purpose. And when the time is done, you will receive us unto yourself. But until then, Lord, help us that we may continue to lead a life which is a blessing to others. And Lord, that we might fulfill the very purpose for which you have placed us here. We pray for the upcoming week. We pray, Lord, that wherever we go, we might shine your light to the soul, to the world around us, that we might be truly called the children of the Most High God. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer. Thank you for blessing us till now. We give thee all glory, honor, praise, and worship in and through the matchless name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.